Good evening, everyone. Oh, mercy, look what color we have on. I have on rose, but the deacon has pink. This is all to tell you, remember the colors tell you something. This is to tell you that we have arrived at the midpoint of our Advent season. The readings will be more beat from this point, and the music will be a bit lighter. Is that right, music director? Thank you. That way I'm not made to be a liar in my homily. Our liturgical vestments are rose-colored, and now the rose-colored candles lit on the Advent wreath. And all of this is indicating that Christmas is just days away. Christmas is just days away. My friends, we have in our first reading the prophet Zephaniah. And before the reading, I know it's not in the lectionary, but before, they're having a really difficult time. And the prophet is speaking to them, and he said, there's a judgment coming. And, you know, when you hear that, oh no, the judgment coming. But he also indicates, in a way that he's speaking about this beacon of light, the sunlight that is emerging, indicating the coming joy of their salvation, of their deliverance. So we hear that this evening. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. The Lord is in your midst. No matter what is troubling you, your God is with you now. St. Paul is speaking to the Philippians, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what, rejoice. And my friends, if you don't know this, St. Paul writes these words not from a hotel room at Christmas time in front of the fireplace. Do you know where he's at? He's in a prison cell, and it's cold and damp. And he's saying, I tell you, brothers and sisters, rejoice. And both of our readings refer to a joy that's deep within the heart of a disciple. And having said this, I know that although we hear about the joy of the season, and many companies capitalize on that, if you want to have absolute joy, you need to buy this. Is that how you experience Christmas? This is something we need to reflect upon. Many people find this time of the year, this season of joy, not so much so. They're filled with anxiety and tension and exhaustion. There's a great deal of stress because of the preparation for Christmas, because it gets out of hand. I hear it in the confession. Word anger comes up and frustration comes up. You know, and I think, Father, you know, I picked a really bad time to stop drinking my white toasted chocolate mocha, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, drink then, drink it. I'm like, what is it? I'll order. What was that again? You know, I'm like, and then I'm filled with anxiety. A white toasted chocolate mocha with how many shots of what? No wonder you're stressed out. I don't even know what that order is. See, and they're getting all stressed out because of this preparation for Christmas, because they are moving away from what I would hope all of our members would understand about Christmas, that despite what the secular venues are putting forth for you about the image of the perfect Christmas that requires the perfect Christmas tree, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be that fat tree, you know, that doesn't have any spaces in the middle. And that's why I go deliberately out. Right now we have our Advent tree. And, well, it's not the Charlie Brown tree. it's pretty good, actually. But then is what's put forth, you must have the perfect decorations on it with the perfect colors, and the lights have to blink perfectly. And you better have the perfect food on the table when the relatives come. Everything that they like, let it be perfect. And it has to be that way. And if it's not, then we will not have the perfect gathering. And then there will not be perfect harmony at that gathering. My friends, Christmas is never perfect. As you will see from the manger scene on Christmas Eve, it was not perfect that first Christmas. Mary giving birth in a stable with the beautiful animals. I got in trouble one year by saying stinky animals. One of the farmers said, "Father, don't call them that. That's not true." I'm like, "Well, you know, the mules and goats and stuff." So it wasn't a perfect Christmas that first Christmas either. The perfect Christmas eludes most people every year. So we have John the Baptist, the great baptizer. And the thing about John the Baptist is when you are doing bad things, you don't want him around because he points out bad, 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 bad. But when you're doing good, oh, he's the best friend you want. You're so good. You're so good. The Lord is coming. Oh, just wait. Oh, you're going to get a big crown on your head. We have John the Baptist this evening in the gospel, and he tells us or shows us the way to have that profound joy at the spiritual heart of this holy season. In the gospel, people ask him, "What should we do? How should we prepare for the Christ that we hear about?" And he tells them, "Share what you have. Don't be selfish. Stop being bullheaded. Start doing what is right." Tax collectors, those are the biggest sinners of the time in John's time. They come, "What should we do?" And he tells them, "Don't extort money from people and stop messing with the weight system," because they were doing weights and they were cheating. "A little bit more, a little bit more." And they were taking it. They gave Caesar what was his, and they took the extra. You see? So he said, "Don't stop doing that." The soldiers come to him. The soldiers, I'm like, well, come to him. They ask, "What should we do?" "Don't abuse your power." In this, we discover how to prepare for the Messiah. Not by perfect things, not by perfect decorations and perfect gift wrapping. Those are all fun, yes, yes. Not by perfect singing, but you guys sing perfectly. But not by that, but by sincere repentance. By remembering whose birthday we are celebrating and the reason for it. And that repentance of ways that are not good means that we will be doing things that are kind, that are holy. And we can make John's message then our own. And in doing this, although the full coming of the kingdom will happen in the future, his second coming, in the Lord's time, we can experience the kingdom in our life now. The joy of this Gaudete Sunday, third Sunday of Advent, we are to rejoice. And that comes from appreciating the fact that Christmas does not have to be like a Maxfield Parrish painting. Do you guys know that? Do the young people know who that artist is? Do you guys know who Maxfield Parrish is? He was an artist, and he painted the most beautiful pictures. When you saw it, you're just like, "I need to get into that picture." Especially if life was not good for you. But he used to paint pictures of family settings, gatherings that were, oh my goodness, those people have everything. It was perfect. But Christmas does not have to be like that. In fact, that's why he painted it, for all those who did not have that. My friends, first Christ comes to us. He comes to us in our imperfection. If you say, I'm waiting to be perfect and then I can go before the Lord, you're going to be waiting a long time. This is not going to happen. He comes to us in our imperfection. His kingdom can begin to take root in our life then today and now. However, as St. John the Baptizer says, we must prepare the way for the Lord. And we do this by imitating what our Lord Jesus Christ did. And then whatever the limitations are that may be in our life, we will be able to experience that deeper joy that happens. And no matter what's going on around us, we will have that. And as our first reading tells us, the Lord will renew us from the inside with his grace and his love. That's what the prophet is ultimately getting at. And my friends, this is a great promise of spiritual fortification. And St. Paul's words today, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. And sometimes that's about all some people can have. Especially when they run into that bedroom, the guest bedroom. Close the door. I just need 5 minutes, Lord Jesus Christ, from those people who I love. But I need 5 minutes of your peace and joy. Yeah, Father Marcus, he lives alone. But I hear about it. So I'm bringing it up because why pretend? Right? So you go and you... I actually told someone, go into the bathroom. Run in the bathroom, lock the door, because they won't come in there, right? And just breathe. And remember really what Christmas is about. My friends, John the Baptist has the key to it. Repent from all those ways, but also from the anxiety. Let it go. Let it go. Wash yourselves of the anxiety. Without clearing the way for the Lord, Christmas becomes simply a winter romp without spiritual benefit or consequence to it. Put into practice the advice that the baptizer, St. John, tells us. In doing so, Jesus Christ becomes and remains a pivotal part of our life in all things. To prepare the way for the Lord, we have the advice then of St. John the Baptizer. And for us Catholics, we have our sacraments to help us. They are conduits of grace, particularly the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. These help us to imitate our Lord in his ways, thus helping us to walk in holiness often, if not always. And friends, to make the point of this homily in a way that maybe is familiar to us older ones, not to the young ones, I thought, how would John the Baptizer put a value on the things of Christmas? The cost of Christmas, $2,000. I got that from the news. That's what the average family is going to spend. The cost of Christmas decorations and food and cake and libations, $1,000. Holiness. And being close to Christ in this time, priceless. I know the young kids, I'm like, what is Father Dar? Because that's kind of old, I know. But it works. Friends, Christmas. Without the incarnation, and that is what Christmas is about, there can be no Easter. Why is he talking about that now? Because you must understand, I want you to come to understand that Easter is everything. But what happened at Easter, his death and resurrection, our salvation, cannot happen unless he is incarnated and comes into our world, the divine one who takes on our human nature. Without Easter, Christmas makes no sense whatsoever. The true meaning, I don't mean the going to the mall and shopping stuff. I mean the true meaning of Christmas makes no sense. Remember the three C's. Christmas. Cross. Crown. in that order. And it was all done for you, because God loves you. And what does he want back from you? That you treat other people with love and respect. Is that really so much to ask? That you would treat his children, the one you're sitting next to, because that is God's child. He wants you to treat his children with respect, of which we are his children. And of course, the scripture tells us to love him with all your heart and all your soul, with all your might. Amen.